right, let's start with episode number 20. I don't know if it's 20. And we're talking to Emily Bissica, is that correct?
Yes. Good job.
Yeah, I've only known you a couple of years, still don't know. And Emily, we met how?
We met, I was doing my second ever prac for high school teaching, and you were my mentor teacher my second ever prac, and mentor sounds so like holistic and
mentalist.
Yes.
That's what they used to call them in England.
And it obviously didn't go too terribly because we're still friends.
Yeah.
So it all worked out okay.
Do you have a teaching job?
Not yet.
Well, that side of things didn't go so well, did it?
I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting,
yes. There's only a couple of days left till the start.
The bureaucracy is a slow process, Matt.
You're a big fan of bureaucracy, aren't you? Yeah.
Very much so.
All right. Well, we're going to talk today about Emily's favourite six songs. She's already told me aren't her favourite already. And we might start with The Cause. Hooray! First mention of The Cause on this podcast.
That surprises me.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Much.
From 1995.
Classic.
What Cause song is it?
Forgiven, Not Forgotten, which is also the title track of the same album.
That was the album's name?
Yeah.
And that was the album, right?
The album.
From 95.
Yeah.
God, that makes
when
me feel
I was
old.
Five.
Don't say things like that. Why do you say things like that?
Sorry. Well, you asked how we met and you were my supervising teacher. That makes you sound old already, so.
Emily just mentioned earlier that I was very close in age to her father, which is
who
incorrect.
Is, in fact, probably closer to 60 than
well, he's closer
any
to
other
60.
Age.
Yep. So thanks for that. So what? The Cause, Forgiven, Not Forgotten.
Yeah.
Still, it's not a favourite anymore.
Oh, no. Look, I don't mind a bit of The Cause.
Yeah.
Some good old instrumental pop music.
Now, is this music that your parents listened to and you
liked? I asked my mum when I was writing the list because that album is the first. I have memories of having. I had a Shania Twain disc.
Okay.
And I used to listen to that in my Discman. But
come on over.
Yeah, and that don't impress me much. Yeah. Very vivid memories of that song in my Discman. But that is the. That album, The Cause album, is the first album I remember actually owning.
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't buy it for myself because I was, you know, probably about six.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty cool.
But it was, yeah, good memories of...
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't think anyone... The only things I ever got given were, like, for all of my brothers, I guess, and they were, like, smash hits.
Yeah.
87, that's the difference.
I did ask my mum when you kind of were asking me to put the list together, and I was thinking, and then that came to mind. Why did I have that? It seems like a really weird choice for a six-year-old, especially when, you know, Hanson was really popular and Britney Spears and Aqua, like Barbie Girl, that sort of stuff. That was all happening. That completely all went over my head, and I was the
kid. That
went
over your head. Yeah. So the songs about Come On Barbie, Let's Go Party.
Yeah, so I was big fan of The Cause, Charlotte Church, the original sort of Gaelic operatic stuff.
Yeah, are you going
Eva
back
Cassidy.
As far? Oh, wow. You're not going far back as Enya, are you? Didn't get into
it. Oh, no, I like Enya. Oh.
Really?
Yeah, that was my birthing music, apparently. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
So mum,
I was... Orinoco Flow.
Yeah.
What a great song.
I
birth to.
Still, to this day, will sometimes put Enya on if I can't go to sleep.
That's funny.
It helps me go to sleep. It's very relaxing. Some of it's a bit intense. It's a bit dark.
I was going to say, like, all those songs, were you, like, an intense six-year-old?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't... Because I asked mum, I said, how did I end up with this album? And she said, I don't know. I don't know if we went, she doesn't remember, if we went there and I just picked it and I was like, they have instruments, look at this cover.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, let's get this one, or if someone gave it to me, but she didn't choose that one.
That's fair enough, I guess.
Yeah, it's, you know, not a bad album for a six-year-old, really.
I mean, I don't know, it's some lovely harmonies and lots of good violining.
Yeah, although I did think, you know, retrospectively that they are all related to each other, and all of their songs are about, like, being passionately in love with people, and so that's maybe a little weird.
That's a little weird.
But as a six-year-old, that also goes over your head, and I probably just thought it was good because they all played violins and stuff. All alone, staring on, watching her life go by. When her days are gray and her nights are black, different shades of mundane. And the one-eyed furry toy that lies upon the bed has often heard her cry. I heard her whisper out a name long forgiven, but not forgotten. You're forgiven, not forgotten. You're forgiven.
So you were a six-year-old.
Yeah.
You're like sitting on your bed, listening to the Cause mm-hmm. with your, I don't know, with your teddy bears, pretending probably. They've broken your heart or something? Or?
I don't know what it was. I did go for a brief moment through a phase of wanting to be a violinist.
Uh-huh.
And I had lessons when I was in kindergarten, so that might have had something to do with it.
Do you remember having lessons or at least?
Yeah, no, I do remember. And I remember bringing home because you rented... So I went to Newcastle Grammar.
Okay.
And so you rented your, violin from the school and you could take it home. And I remember bringing it home.
Wow.
My very small violin and being horrendous at it.
Of course.
As everyone is when they start. And staying horrendous at it and not really wanting to keep going.
Just the idea of, I would guess a lot of children who want to learn the violin, their best moment is picking up the violin and...
Yeah.
Not actually.
I think that was probably one of the ones that my parents were glad that I didn't stick at that.
Yeah, that is a pretty hard instrument to listen to someone play badly.
And it's hard to make it sound good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure they smiled a lot through gritted teeth and said, oh,
yeah.
That's really good.
Yes, I was their first child. They were very encouraging.
So you're the first of two children, right?
Three.
Three?
Yeah, I've got two brothers.
I didn't know you had two brothers. Is it just one brother you always talk about?
Maybe it's the two ones. Maybe I'll just assume that
them.
They're one person. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about right.
No, I'm the oldest.
I'm not real good at listening. So. It's true.
You have two kids, right?
Yes.
You're hiding one in the back.
Kind of there will be blood kind of weirdness. Where yeah. I don't know if there's one or two of them. There's twins. No, it's not.
Yes,
like
they
that.
Are in fact twins.
Yeah.
The truth comes out.
So. Do you actually think you're an intense kid, or is it just an exact, just a happenstance of liking that just because you liked it?
Well, I think I'm an intense adult. Not all. Do you think I'm an intense adult?
No, but you did just look at me really intensely as you said that.
I probably was an intense kid. I was very... curious about a lot of things, and I think kind of similar to your child,
mm-hmm.
your
my eldest,
lovely eldest child, yeah. who has so many questions and looks at people like, why don't you understand what I'm trying to tell you?
Yeah,
you are obviously not on my level, you peasant human. I think that was probably very similar to the way that I was. Oh. I was ducks of kindergarten. If that puts it in perspective.
They had a ducks in kindergarten? How horrible.
Yeah, I got a prize.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's... Really?
Yeah.
You can be ducks at kindergarten. Yeah. Well done,
they
you.
They gave me a book. And I won some sort of competition where I got to go to the canteen and get an ice cream afterward.
Oh, well,
that was pretty good.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll move on to the second song on your list, which is One by Yeasayer.
Yes.
Tell me more.
Mm.
Sorry, before you do,
mm-hmm.
one thing about this list is that
yeah.
there's a lot of surprises. I've only known you 2 years, but I was like, really? You like this song? Really? You like that song?
Yeah.
And it is a wide mix. One that, and if I read what you wrote to me last night, it's a reflection of my
multiple... No, you're not supposed to...
It's a reflection of my multiple personalities or of how complex I am, which I thought was an excellent answer. But anyway, one, yesterday.
Okay, so we'll address that.
Yeah.
Is this is not one of the songs that surprised you?
No.
Will
no.
we address that when oh, we yeah, get to a, the song that surprises
few,
yeah,
there's
you?
There's a few.
Right. One, it's a great song.
Yes.
From 2010. So yeah. 2010, this is going to make you feel old.
You already made me feel old by saying you were 5 in 1995.
Yes, but so. 2010 was my first year of university.
Yeah.
So I have, yeah, really excellent memories of dancing to this song at Bar 32, which no longer exists, sadly.
No.
On the sticky floor. Yeah.
So it had a sticky floor.
It did.
Was it sticky? Now, for those of you who don't live in Canberra, the number one sticky floor in Canberra is Mooseheads. Was it stickier than Mooseheads?
Hipster sticky.
Hipster sticky?
Different sticky. Yeah, probably less vodka.
Like more red wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Less like vodka premixed.
Yeah.
More sort of gin and tonic sticky.
Yeah.
Yeah, different sticky.
Gin and tonic sticky. They spilled it all over their hat. And
yeah, dripping from the facial hair.
Yeah, dripping from
yeah,
the beard.
That
yeah,
that sort of thing.
all over their boat shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no offense, Wiggins. But yeah, so this is just a buoyant time of your life.
Yeah, it's a good... I just really like that band, Yesaya. So my friend... And we're going to talk about this probably a little bit later because of one of the other songs that is on my list. But
well, what song's that? We can talk about them both together.
Down by the Water.
Okay,
the
yeah.
Next song.
Yeah, Down by the Water by the Drums.
So it's kind of similar memories, but the Yesaya song is like a lot more positive and
yeah.
happy and sort of thing because 2010 was, yeah, my first year of uni and was also, like the first half of 2010 was awesome, like. Doing all of that, you know.
Did you
just learning about stuff and going
did you
to
live
AU.
On? Did you live on campus?
No, I lived in a share house in Turner
oh, okay.
with four other girls that went to uni.
Wow!
So that was my first time. Like I travelled and stuff in my gap year, but that was my first proper time living out of home. And
all right, we've got a fair bit to cover in that little bit.
Yeah.
Where did you travelled for a gap year?
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes.
Where did you go in the gap year?
I went
year?
To the Netherlands. Primarily, as you do.
For how long?
For about 3 months.
Okay.
And then kind of used that as my base and went all over the place.
That's pretty cool. Usually yeah. people go to England or...
Yeah, so
like
I went to Narrabundah College for year 11 and 12, which is like a public school for people who aren't from Canberra.
yeah, that's right.
And... I had a friend named Jody who was from the Netherlands and her dad worked at the Dutch embassy.
Oh, okay.
And so we became friends. And then at the end of year 12, she was like, well, I'm moving back to Holland. You should come too. And so I did. And then that
Very
was
handy.
Good. So I got to live in a real house. And
yeah, you weren't doing
have,
that.
Yeah.
Just turning up and trying your best. You already had that
yeah.
base set. That's pretty convenient.
That was good. And, you know, learn how to catch trains and...
Did you learn a bit of Dutch?
I did, a little bit.
Really? That's really cool. I had no idea. I guess it doesn't come up much in
not
conversation.
Not really, no. And it's probably not the most useful of languages.
No, I guess not. I guess not. And did you do the traditional trips to Amsterdam and get wasted?
I went to Amsterdam once, I think. Once or, no, twice.
Yeah.
And it was really cold because I went. At the end of, you know, the end of our school year, so like November to February or something.
Yeah.
And it was really cold, and so the red light district was very quiet because it was very cold.
Yeah.
And I, you know, wouldn't expect half-naked women to be standing in there.
No. Amsterdam, I think, someone once described it to me as, because it's a drug, lots of people go there and take lots of drugs, it's like a schizophrenic city.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's beautiful and... The
yeah.
scenery is gorgeous, and usually by the day it's lovely, and then at night or early in the morning people are vomiting on the streets.
Yeah,
and
yeah. So I probably didn't have that very stereotypical experience, mostly because I was with people who were from the country.
Yeah,
and so they obviously aren't interested in that sort of in
yeah.
that tourist sort of side of thing. But I did go to like that Anne Frank's house and go on like a bicycle tour and like a tour of like the canals and stuff, and all that sort of stuff was cool, but yeah, not a lot of no drug taking. So probably not the full Amsterdam experience.
Yeah, you can take drugs in lots of other places apart from Amsterdam.
I'm sure it's all very similar.
Yeah, so you went overseas for your gap year, did a bit of Europe. Did you branch out to any strange places or any places that surprised you in Europe?
I got lost. So I...
Spiritually lost?
Yeah, no, really geographically lost.
Yeah.
So I was going to go to... Where was I going? I went to London and I went to Paris. And they were probably the furthest, and I spent a lot of time in Belgium as well, but that was probably like the furthest out that I went. But on my way to Paris, I caught the wrong train from the town that I was living in. And so what I was supposed to do was catch a train from Roosendaal, which was where I was living, which is in the south, to another station, change trains there, catch a train to Belgium, and then... catch the train to... Anyway, that's not important. I got to wherever I was meant to be going eventually, but I missed, you know, I caught the wrong train. The first one I fucked up.
Yeah.
So...
Good stuff.
Yeah, and I ended up in this really nice little country town with no people. And the train station was literally like... a platform and a bench.
Wow.
And that was it. And I think a vending machine or something. And I obviously realized this is not, you know, where I'm supposed to be. Where are all of the other people? And I rang my mum. And I think it was
default.
Like, yeah, well, and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning here or something. Like, I don't know where I am. And mum's kind of trying to calm me down over the phone, but she did say later that she was panicking because there's not much you can do when your 18-year-old calls you from the other side of the world saying,
I'm at this
town and I don't know and I can't pronounce it and I don't know anyone and I don't know what I'm doing. And
yeah, wow. Yeah. Start to like a romance novel though, you know, like, oh, I got off the wrong train and the next train wasn't for a week, you know, and I had to spend a week there.
Sounds
and
like a good movie or
something. And then I, you know, got ingratiated in the community and then I didn't leave.
Although I did kind of pretend that I was in an Agatha Christie novel several times on the trains.
When you wanted to murder people?
No, that I wanted to murder people, but I liked to look at the people and kind of pretend, like, imagine what they were doing and where they were going and, you know, maybe that man's just killed his wife and put her in his suitcase.
You're just watching him for suspicious activity.
Yeah, that's not a lot of stuff to do, really. No,
for a solo 18-year-old traveller. Yeah. Okay, so that was, you did your gap year and then you said the first half of your... was, like you said...
2010.
That's Yeasayer. So. That's won by Yeasayer. That's the first time. Okay, so that's...
Sticky bar 32 floor memories.
Living with, you could say, four others.
Yes.
That must have been pretty
four
intense.
Four other girls. Yeah.
Yeah. Was the place big or was it?
It was pretty big. It only had one bathroom though.
Okay.
So that was a bit difficult, and it was an old house in Turner, so our plumbing often was a bit kind of hit and miss.
Yeah, as it often is.
Yeah.
So did you move in with all your friends, or was it
no,
just
No, I didn't
random?
Know any of these
Oh,
people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably
so,
better off.
Yeah, because a lot of my, like, I'm from Canberra, like, you know, I went to school here and stuff, and but most of my friends weren't really ready, I guess, to move out of home, you know, if you have it good at home, which I did as well. I just wanted to see if I could.
Well, I was the youngest of three, and I was the first to move out, and that's the main reason I moved out, is because they wouldn't.
Yeah.
So that's all I wanted.
Well, that's what, yeah, that's what happened with my youngest brother as well. He went to boarding school.
Wow.
So.
Just to get out.
Yeah, in Jindabyne.
Yeah, that is different.
Yeah, so wow. I just wanted to see if I could do it.
Yeah. And how long did that last?
2 years.
Okay, cool. 2 years. Are you friends with those people?
I am, although only one of them still lives in Canberra.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the first half. So mm-hmm. the second half you said was like down by the water by the drums, which is, yes, much more of a starker.
Yes.
I'll put a clip of it at the end, but you should look at the video clip of it, because it's quite different.
Yeah.
And quite well shot. So what happened in 2010 to switch it around, I guess?
2010 was a very... So, yeah, like I said, first half was great. Lots of new friends and new uni experiences and stuff. I had some friends who I had met the year before, a friend called Alex, who was going out with one of my good friends from high school. And so he and his friends, they'd gone to Marist. So we didn't really have anything to do with them until after we graduated, like we'd never met in the same parties
friends.
Or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they were really lovely, and Alex and I got along really well because he was just a really nice guy, really easy to get along with. And 2 weeks before my 20th birthday, I think. My birthday's at the end of July, so I think it was about 2 weeks. Alex actually very sadly passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He was drug-related, but was a lot of other complicated factors, I think. So that was pretty devastating in terms of, you know, for a 19-year-old to kind of...
Yeah, have to deal with that.
Yeah. And it was difficult as well because I'd never experienced loss before. Both of my dad's parents are still happy and healthy and doing their aqua zumba or whatever it is that they do. And my mum's parents have both passed away, but I didn't meet them, or I don't have any memory of meeting them because I was too young. So up until that point, I'd never had anybody close to me die.
Yeah.
And so that was very, it was a weird time just because, I'd never been to a funeral before. And
now it's someone your age.
Yeah, and so I think that was all very, it was a lot of different feelings, and even talking about it, like I'm not, it's okay to talk about, but it's a very kind of, a lot of different emotions.
Yeah.
And it's only been, I should kind of bring it back to the list because that's what we're talking about. The Down by the Water by the Drums was one of Alex's favourite songs. He was the one that introduced me actually to Yeser as well, because he was very into all this kind of indie pop music and stuff, and I hadn't really heard of them previously. But the Drums, that was one of his favorite albums, and they played that song at his funeral, and so that was what almost 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it's only been in the last couple of years that I can really listen to it without getting very upset.
Yeah.
And now I can listen to it, which is good because it's a good song.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like a nice kind of nostalgic thing to do to remember my friend rather than get really quite distressed.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
And do you listen to it often or is it just...
No. It is quite cathartic, I think, when I do listen to it. Like, you go through that, all of those mixed emotions and, you know, it's obviously really sad that he's not around, but, you know, you remember all of the nice stuff as well, so...
Yeah.
But no, it's not something that I kind of would choose to listen to on a regular basis.
What if it came on the radio?
I think I wouldn't turn it off.
Yeah.
But
actually, maybe you would have in the past.
Yeah, so one of the, so I think maybe a couple of months afterwards, after the funeral and everything, I was just driving along and had my phone on shuffle in my car and the song came on and I just couldn't, I had to pull over and couldn't keep driving, had to, you know, turn it off. And so it's obviously, it's not that raw anymore, but it's
and I think grief does that for everyone. I think it's, you know, it's a cliche, everyone processes it differently, but from what I've seen and what I've talked about is that everyone gets blindsided by it. Like, it's a song or it's a memory or it's a topic of conversation, like you said, 6 months later or months later, where you think you've processed stuff and then, no, you haven't.
Yeah.
Haven't processed it. So this happened when you were 19.
Just before I turned 20.
Do you think this has an impact on you and the type of teacher that, I'm going to say you are, the type of teacher you are, who's very concerned about welfare of students? Now, I know that's people... might think that's what teachers do, but we know from a fact that not all teachers are concerned in that way. Not that they're horrible people, but that just maybe they're just focused on what their lessons are and not looking any deeper into their students' lives. But you are always very obviously...
Sometimes too much, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely had... I think part of it is probably just the person that I am, like, regardless of other... influences, but yeah, it's had a big impact in terms of, like, I've had other friends. Obviously what happened with Alex was an accident, but I've had, unfortunately, other friends who have committed suicide.
Yeah.
And so all of that sort of...
Was that around the same time?
Yeah, so I had a close friend who was best friends with Alex, committed suicide, I think, about 4 months afterwards. So in quite a short space of time. And that's definitely had, I think, a very significant impact on the way that I think about interacting with just young people in general, just because that is kind of the time when they do, or people in general kind of seem to go through a lot of changes and feelings, and sometimes it all feels a bit much.
Certainly does.
That thing I put on Facebook the other day with, about how sometimes teachers feel more like social workers than teachers. Yeah, and I think that sometimes... some teachers are unfortunately seen that they don't really seem to, I don't know if they don't care.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they care, but they also just don't see it as their job.
No, I mean, you know, technically it isn't, and that's technically is a horrible word, I think.
Yeah.
Teachers tend to use
quite a qualifying word, yeah.
To avoid doing things they don't want to do is, this isn't my job and I'm not trained in this.
Yeah.
But when you've got students...
Mm-hmm.
Because while I was mentoring you. That's not the correct term, is it? I'm also like year advisor for 2 year groups, mm-hmm. so sometimes students just appear in a mess. Now, no counsellor at the school.
Yeah.
No funding for counsellors. No nurse at the school. You can't just go, oh.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say, yeah, I'm busy, mm-hmm. come back later, or palm them off. But, mm-hmm. But I saw you doing stuff like that.
Palming them off?
No, not palming them off, but talking to kids that other teachers won't do, or they do it, but they do it horribly.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I definitely realised from my experiences, which were obviously not very pleasant experiences, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but something that I have really gained from that is that I am really, like, acutely aware of that sometimes someone might just, you might just need to say, like, are you doing okay?
Yeah.
Is there anything I can do? Or even you don't have to really say anything, but with some of the students that you have, that you may be the only consistent adult in their life. So you can't really take that lightly. That's a big shoes to fill.
Yeah, and you're always were talking to me about how you leave that stuff at the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, I don't know, sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might come home and have a big old cry about it, or call your mum and have a big old cry about it. But that gets easier over time, and I don't know why.
Mm.
It doesn't. It's not becoming colder to it. It just becomes easier to go, all right, they've gone for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about them all night is not going to help
their
state of mind. You have to just wait till you see them the next day and check in with them.
Yeah, I think that, and that's one of the things that you told me as well, which is probably quite useful advice, is that you can't get, you know, so attached and so involved, because the nature of a high school is that they will leave.
Yeah, they will leave you.
That's the plan, that they will leave. Yeah. And, you know, if they're not leaving, you're not doing something correctly.
Yes, they all, every year, there's a new group that leaves and a new group that begins.
So you've got to kind of say, I've done as much as I can do to get them off to, you know, the next level of schooling or whatever it is that they're going
to do.
They're
going to do and hope.
Yeah.
A lot of times, I mean, last year was the first time I was a year advisor to the year 10, and a lot of times you feel like parents sending them away to uni or on a gap year to Europe, and you're like, oh, all right, I hope they'll be okay.
Yeah.
I can't do anything.
Keep in touch.
Yeah, it's all done.
Yeah.
Until you've done all you can.
Yeah. Fall asleep down by the water. Baby, I'll carry you all the way home. If you fall asleep down by the water, baby, I'll carry you.
The next song.
Yes.
There's probably chances it'll still get deeper again, but maybe I'll start mocking you more. That'll
lighten the mood. I liked that one. The other podcast. All of your other guests, is that what you call them?
Sure. Yes.
Does that have been really funny? Oh, so much pressure.
To be funny.
Yeah.
And, no, you don't have to be funny.
Great.
All right. Next. Here's a funny song. Ohio is for Lovers by Hawthorne Heights.
Why is that a funny song?
You know what? Because I found it very difficult to enjoy this song.
Mm-hmm. Not surprised.
For a number of reasons.
Would you like to share these reasons?
Not really, because it's your song.
No.
I don't know. Please, regale me with your thoughts. That I could never possibly write, construct, and perform.
What else is it there for?
I don't know. I'm guessing you listen to this. No. I'm guessing you listened to this as a teenager.
Yes.
Quite a moody teenager.
Yes.
And you thought, finally, this is something that I can relate to and something that I understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, emo, yes, is the term, but it's,
yeah.
I mean, it's all lovely harmonies.
But that song is inherently very emo, though.
No, it's...
It's talking about self-harm and wearing a lot of black eyeliner.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Yeah.
Never been done before.
No.
No one wore black eyeliner before 2004.
No.
No, it's, I don't know, it's, and you're what, you're 20... 24 now. Mm-hmm. So in about 3 years, you're going to start hating listening to Triple J and you're going to start hating all new music, and you'll be teaching and students will be like, listen to this and it'll just sound like something else you've heard when you were a teenager. It'll sound like this and you'll be like, this is just the same old thing.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know, it's this, it's just a song about being a depressed teenager. Mm-hmm. But just put in a different key and with some screaming, not much screaming.
No, there's again, actually not a lot of screaming.
Very nice harmonies in it. But I can imagine teenagers going, yeah, this is angry music, but it's not. It's lovely when you listen to the actual melodies in it. You're like, oh. But yeah, this is music I would have mocked roundly if I was a teenager at the same time. I'm sure I would have mocked it, which is horrible.
That was
the type of teenager I was. Anyone who showed any kind of sensitivity, they were roundly mocked by me as a teenager. I wasn't very...
Because you were...
I don't think I was a very positive, nice teenager.
Projecting your feelings onto them. Pretending like you weren't sensitive or something.
I don't know. I just felt like it's... I don't know. It's just kind of... Like, oh, we don't need to see how much pain you have.
Mm.
Is it because it's not really real that you're projecting other people. I didn't think like that as a teenager. I thought, there was a student at school who we used to call Trouble Genius. And he was a very nice boy.
Aww.
And he was just very sensitive and an excellent artist and very nice. But
I feel like Trouble Genius is very articulate for high school students.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did go to a selective high school.
Oh, okay, Just put that in there, did you?
So it's roundly mocked, but, you know, like others,
by
in a different
other
situation. Yeah, exactly right.
Mm. I think that was sort of, there was a lot of music I think I could have picked from that time. The other song that I was on my list, I rewrote this list like 5 times.
Yeah, that's the standard.
Marilyn Manson was on one of the lists.
Any specific Marilyn?
Disposable Teen.
Oh, yes.
You know, from sort of the same time frame. So 2004.
Yeah.
14 years old.
Yeah.
Angsty teen period, I suppose.
Yeah.
In that sort of white girl, middle class, private school, nothing's wrong with my life. So I need to create my own drama and listen to music written by white middle-class people.
Yeah, I'm going to edit everything I said and just attach a... That's exactly why I don't like this song.
Mm.
You said it way better than I did. Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like.
And it really was like, you know, year 8, year 9, I went through, I suppose, that, you know, that really stereotypical stage in when you're a teenager, you're like, no one understands me and I hate everybody and everything, and I just want to run away and find the people that, anyway.
That get you.
Yeah. And obviously my parents could never understand me because I was so complex and so deep, and they were just not on my level.
No.
Like, I don't care at all where you are and how you feel with these lights. soft as he dreams. Keep rolling on and on. Slow things down or speed them up. Not enough or way too much.
The music was a good kind of expression of my teenaged angst that was coming from nowhere.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think it has to come from somewhere because so many teenagers have it.
But it was so funny, though, because, you know, I went to a private school, very expensive private school in Canberra. Really
loving family.
Yeah, really normal,
yeah,
supportive, like wonderful parents. Can't say anything bad about them. But the whole group of us,
yeah,
all of my friends, we were all going through this same sort of very strange phase where we all wanted to listen to kind of angry pop punk music and wear too much eyeliner. And
see, the trick is now for you is when you're teaching and you're seeing this and you know it's the exact same, it comes from your place, and it reflects you as a teenager and embarrasses you. I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm talking about me because I see
boys... people being silly all the time.
Well, see, I think I was just immature and maybe later, 17, 18, 19, I went through something similar. But when you see it reflected on you, it's really hard to view as an adult without just going, you idiot.
Yeah.
But you have to learn. It's coming from somewhere and there's a need for it. That's not a trend. Emo might be a trend, but it just goes on and on. That's, you know, like it's, you can change the lyrics or change the way it's presented, but the same message gets through a different group. Who sang Welcome to the Black Parade? Oh, God, that's annoying.
My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, My Chemical Romance was a few years after this. It's the same thing. The Used, they yeah. Know. Just the same, you yeah. know, it's... packaged and beautifully.
I will happily listen to all of that stuff even now.
Of course.
Not because
yeah.
I am an angsty teenager, no, but it's still pretty catchy.
And it is, and it represents you.
Mm.
You know, like it's, I still listen to songs from when I'm a teenager and it'll get sadder and sadder. My kids will start mocking me very soon about music I listen to. But yeah, that is a constant. That is a constant, especially in teaching, is that, oh, this year there's another year eight. A group of year eight girls who are...
just look so glum.
Who are always glummy. Glummies. Mm. The glummy Joes
so
of the world.
So pouty.
Yeah.
And everything is just against them. And, yeah.
No, well, maybe you were there. The classic thing I heard that year eight girls say...
oh, yes.
About the teachers are trying to help us, but they haven't lived our lives and they don't feel our feelings.
It's true. And your feelings are so... you know, unique at that age. No one else has possibly ever felt like the way that you do.
No.
It's just not an option.
I think one of the problems is we don't really talk to students about that stuff. We talk it in these weird terms.
Yeah.
We're never direct. And it's the same with, like, those kinds of... this is what happens when you go through puberty and all the chemicals in your brain make you feel this way. And people, you know, you just have the same conversations with students where you have to tell them, oh, yeah, this is normal. And it's a shock to them that what they're – and sometimes it's confronting to them because it's not normal. How could it be normal?
Yeah. I think to be a teacher and to be on the receiving end, though, is a little frustrating sometimes when it's – obviously, if there's students who have genuine – I probably shouldn't say genuine, but you know, mental health issues or concerns, that's different. But when you have these groups of Usually girls.
Boys just hold it down, yeah, hold it down.
There's just so many feelings.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only way they can express these feelings is by crying and running off to the bathrooms in packs and, you know, getting everyone involved in their feelings.
Yes.
It's pretty hard when you're trying to...
It is exhausting.
You just want to sit them down and go, you will grow out of this.
This is really boring.
Yes.
And embarrassing.
Stop. You don't all need to go off and cry all together.
No, you don't. That's an excellent lesson.
You don't all need to cry together.
You don't have to go off and cry together. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll move on. We'll move on to the Amity affliction.
Okay.
The way down.
Yes.
They're Australian, right?
They are.
Yes. Now, this is from last year.
Yes. And so it's from Let the Ocean Take Me is the album. From second half of last year. And they actually are touring this album currently.
Yeah.
I saw them last Tuesday evening at a new bar.
And how did that go?
It was really good.
Not too gross?
It was very sweaty.
Yeah.
Which was expected. But I sort of stayed away from the... I don't do well with crowds.
Yeah.
I think most people know that about me, is that I don't really like a lot of people in my space. So I sort of stayed away from the mosh pit area.
Yeah.
Which was good.
I just enjoyed it.
One of my friends actually said, you know, one of the guys that I went with, he was like, oh, come and stand near where the sound engineers stand.
Yeah.
Because they make it sound good from where they're standing. And I'd never thought of that before, but it actually makes a lot of sense.
That's 20, 30 years of my life wasted.
Yeah.
That's exactly true.
It's true. And it was actually really good because I didn't get cramped, like squashed or trampled by anybody. And the sound was good. So thank you, Steve-O, for that little gem of...
So this music again is quite angry, would you say?
Yes. Yeah, probably. Is this the surprising one?
Oh, all of these kind of angry songs. Well, this is probably more surprising because I figured the songs from 2004 represented a bit of teenage angsty.
Oh, okay.
But this is angry. Well, it's not that angry music, but it kind of is.
Yeah, I think our people are often, and I think with the last song on there as well.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute, but people are often very surprised when they find out that I really enjoy quite aggressive metal.
Yeah.
And I will very happily listen to pretty much anything, really. I'm not one of those people who says, you know, I hate all metal or all country music or, you know. I think I draw the line at the...
Never draw a line.
Well, there has to be a line drawn, though, because I do draw the line at... I don't even know what you would call the genre, but... It's kind of the maybe not even it's like beyond death metal, where they're talking about maybe ripping out people's intestines and sacrificing them to you know,
it's quite dark. That music.
Yeah, so maybe that's a little bit too far.
Okay,
that's where my line is. I think anything,
it's a big line though, that's a fair way off.
Anything on the other side of that line is totally fine,
yeah. Because one thing that I always enjoyed, especially when I saw you every day, and you would come in often with quizzical looks on your face. You have one of the all-time best quizzical looks on your face that you don't hide very well.
No, I don't.
And a lot of times you would come in and say, people have told me that my Is it the quizzical face or the face that you don't hide
your... My feelings.
Your feelings no. with your face very well. But you've often said that people have said that you're too aggressive
mm.
or too...
intimidating.
Maybe intimidating mm. or confronting.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure anyone listening for this length would go, huh, interesting. So why do people think you're intimidating or confronting?
I think I've always been told that after I feel like I have been assertive.
Yes.
Or just upfront about something.
Yeah.
I'm not the sort of person to let people... I know, I call people out on their bullshit, I think.
Yeah.
And I feel like that makes people uncomfortable.
Yes, that's true.
And I also don't like doing things that I don't want to do.
Okay.
So, if I'm good at saying no sometimes, yeah. in some situations.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be fun being a teacher.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I haven't quite worked out how to do that yet.
Yeah, you spend a lot of your prac time just going, why is this happening? What? How can this be? This is ridiculous.
This system doesn't work.
Yes. And
yeah.
And a lot of time, what were people's responses to that?
Well, it's just the way that it is.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
do it, because that's just the way we've always done it.
Yeah. This system doesn't work. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
What system?
What system, yeah.
What are you talking about? Who are you?
You come across as confronting
mm-hmm.
when you call people on your bullshit. And I sent you, or someone put a link on
yes,
Facebook.
That was, yeah.
About how a lot of women in particular, mm-hmm. well, it was about women.
Mostly women, yeah. It,
when they get feedback from bosses, or mm-hmm. work reports, they will get the term, you are too aggressive or mm-hmm. you are too abrasive.
Yes.
With colleagues, whereas they would never use those terms, have never. Research has been done where men never
no.
get the term you are too aggressive
no.
or too abrasive. And obviously you found this to be the case, because
yes.
is it mainly men who tell you that you're being
yeah,
that way?
Yeah, I think so. And I think people are always quite surprised when they... Because by no means am I typically like a very overbearing sort of personality. I'm quite shy. I don't know, I wouldn't really say reserved, but I'm pretty quiet. Like I don't need to be the center of attention or anything. So I feel like people are always surprised when I say, actually, I'm not okay with that.
Yeah.
Like that's where the line is, that it's just not.
Yeah, that's rubbish.
Can you please stop being a dick?
Yeah.
And so people go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And get told I'm bossy a lot as well. And I think that's one of those, that's one of
that's
those
words.
That's
another word, yeah. But...
yeah. I just read, do you know who Amy Poehler is?
Yeah. You read Yes, Please?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I finished it yesterday. Yeah, and when she's talking about how she really likes the word bossy.
Yeah.
She will call herself bossy.
Yeah.
Because just for her, it just means like women who know what they want and aren't afraid to sort of say, this is what's happening because
yeah.
this is how it needs to happen.
I know a lot of my female friends who I went through uni with, and the ones who are called, would be called bossy, they get shit done.
Yeah.
And they do their job really well,
mm-hmm.
but they're not bossy. It's just that. They don't,
yeah.
they don't let. But how do the men who are being dicks around
mm.
you, how do other women react to them, or what's the appropriate way in their mind?
I think the appropriate way would be to laugh.
Yeah.
Even if you don't think the joke is funny.
Yeah.
Or.
I can't ever see you doing that.
No. Because my face, I could try and laugh, but my face
no.
would say you are being a dickhead. So. I don't think that would work very well. And that's probably why I've never learnt to control my facial expressions
yeah.
because I just don't see the point. I can't. I'm a terrible liar.
Yeah.
I, you know, if I just think something's not on, then my
Maybe.
Face will tell you about 10 minutes before my mouth will probably.
Yeah. Well, yeah, at least it's not a default face. You see people
resting
who's,
bitch face.
You know, resting bitch face.
I think I have that, though. Or I just look...
I think that's just when you're...
You think I look confused.
People are just talking crap to you. But a lot of times
Get
you would
that.
Turn up every morning with that look on your face because someone had done something in the walk from your car to the office to make you confused about the world. And not just about that event, but then you would make links to the world in general.
Yeah, so you'd often have to tell me to unfurrow my brow.
Yeah. It's going to come back to haunt you. Believe me, that's where I frown. And that's where it stays. Okay, well, yeah, this conversation's going in weird places, but let's go to your last song, which was probably the most surprising on it, which is Mercy.
Yes.
By lots of people.
Kanye.
And?
2 Chainz.
And?
Pusha T and Big Sean.
And Big Sean, yeah. Now, this was a surprise.
Why is that?
Well, you know, like it's...
I knew you were going to say that.
What, that one was a surprise?
Was a surprising one.
I mean, I don't know. As coming from a perfect white middle class background, I like hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
I have done for a long time, but sometimes I'm do what white middle class people do and have guilt about, am I listening to this? Should I be listening to this song? Yeah. Should I be enjoying this, which is a real killer for anything?
It is.
Which a lot of people on the internet spend a lot of time just going,
yes.
I don't think we should be enjoying this song, which is a lot of, nearly every song that comes out that's massively popular, there'll always be a counter-argument to why you shouldn't listen to this song. It's anti-women, it's anti-this, it's promoting, blah, blah, blah. But this song.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
It's a great song.
It's a great song.
Did you listen to it?
Yeah, a couple
of
times.
Did you hate it?
No, I don't know. Oh, I like Kanye.
Yeah, I think it's a great song. Yeah, people, probably more so than the metal music, people are really surprised when they find out that I actually love rap music and hip-hop and R&B. And it's often quite, you know, as it is, and you kind of just touched on that, you know, it's often sexist and homophobic and misogynistic and...
Yeah, this song's got a whole bag of misogynistic stuff going on.
It sure does. yes, and, you know, there's that kind of culture as well is so far removed from any of my experiences. And, you know, the drug taking and all that sort of stuff too. But I love rap music. And people are always like, oh, there's this white girl who knows all the words to Lil Wayne's A Millie. Sure, that's normal.
Yeah.
And I remember I went on a road trip somewhere and there's this song called Rack City.
Yeah.
Which is by a guy called Tiger and it's about strip clubs. That's, you know.
Rack City.
Yeah.
Get them out.
Hundreds. And I, in fact, you know, kind of shamelessly, you know, all the words to that song as well. And for a long time, I had that white, typical white person guilt.
Yeah, it's good times.
Also because I would identify as a, you know, a feminist and I have a lot of issues with people being sexist and homophobic and racist and all that sort of stuff. And for a while, I kind of repressed the fact that I loved this music so much and I was kind of like a guilty pleasure where people weren't allowed to know that I loved, you know.
This is what comes from education.
Yeah.
This is the horrible thing about deconstruction and education.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And doing gender studies classes at ANU.
Exactly.
Ruined so much for me. But,
can't I just enjoy something?
Yeah, and so for a while it was like, nope. I don't like this. This is inappropriate. They are treating women like objects.
That is the classic.
But it has
thing.
A really good beat.
Yeah. It made me enjoy the fact that I can imagine. I imagined you in your car with it turned up at the lights, just breaking your neck.
Yeah.
Listening to this song and just going, that's hilarious.
Yeah. But it's just lyrical genius as well, this song. Like, build a house up on that ass. Yeah. That's an ass state.
That's an ass state.
You can take that straight to the bank.
Repeat. You've got to repeat that line. It was so good, you have to sing it twice.
Yeah. Roll my weed on it. That's an ass tray.
Yeah.
See?
Mm-hmm.
See? Straight to the bank.
You've got to use these in class. You've got to take them in and go, look at this.
Deconstructed poetry. It's just, beautiful.
You know, little kids.
Yeah.
Your chick, she so thirsty. I'm in that 2C Lambo with your girl, she trying to jerk me.
Okay, drop it to the floor. Make that ass shake. Whoa, make the ground move. That's an ass quake. Build a house up on that ass. That's an ass state. Roll my weed on it, that's an ass trait. Say yay, don't we do this every day, day. I worked them long nights to get a payday. Finally got paid, now I need shade and a vacay. And niggas still hating, so much hate, I need a AK. Now we out in Perry, yeah, I'm Perry-ayin'. White girls politicking, that's that Sarah Palin. Getting hot, Californicating. I give her that D, cause that's why I was born and raised in.
Okay, Lamborghini Mercy. Swerve. Yo chick, she so thirsty. Swerve. I'm in that 2C Lambo with your girl, she trying to jerk.
But yeah, so, you know, really, like, typical white person guilt about that. And after a while, I was like, fuck it. I really like this music.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, just enjoy it.
I do really enjoy it. And there, but in saying that, I probably shouldn't kind of paint all rap music and stuff with that same sort of brush, because there are a lot of artists who are quite socially active. You know, obviously people like Kanye West and Lil Wayne, that's, you know, they make money rapping about drugs and guns and strippers. But, like, I think you kind of can't say that is all rap music.
No.
Like, I think Kendrick Lamar has a lot of good stuff to say.
Yeah. But there's so many. Mm. But it's that, like you said, you don't want to just go, here's the line.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to listen to that. Mm. How dare you? Yeah. But, yeah, it's all
goes on. People think it's really funny that I, just rap along to it in the car.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That tinkled me very much. Yes, good work. All right, well, it's been a pleasure. We've come to the end of the show.
On my list.
Yeah, it's gone in a lot of strange directions. One thing before we go that I wanted just to go over was I was remembering the time... I wish, and it appears in my head as a moment on film because it's funnier that way.
Mm-hmm.
When you were doing your prac, and we went to find the people in charge of reporting who had done such a horrible job of reporting. And this will annoy you as an efficient person yourself when you get things done, and people say, "No, you shouldn't have done that yet."
Yeah.
Because
you've got to wait until 24 hours before it's time to.
Yeah, because other people haven't done it. You've got to wait for them first before you can do this bit. Otherwise, and that's bureaucracy at its finest. But I remember going in and the people making light of that and me losing it, going, "Yeah, that's heaps funny," and then storming out. And then all I can imagine is you. Because I left in a hurry of you maybe staying there maybe 2 seconds afterwards, and then I don't know what you did, but I have many things in my head, like going, "Yeah," and then just storming out, like imagining you with a clipboard, like coming after me. I was like, "Yes, that was a good moment." That was like having an assistant for a little while there. And another thing, and then just storming out. And you were angry on my behalf as well.
I was angry on your behalf. But that was probably one of those moments where I should have been really professional and said, you know, "Sorry about that. He's just having a bad day." But I bet you anything my face was like,
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suck it, guys.
Just for 2 more seconds just to look at them.
Yeah.
And then exit quickly.
Oh, dear.
And then come up and go, "Yes, we showed them."
Power. To fight the power.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Anyway, thanks again, Em.
Anytime.
It's been a pleasure.
Yay, thanks for having me.